it to the line. Not out, still in. Eichel looking down low. He's got Stone out in front. They score!
Nobody is ever satisfied with one. So we're back for a second hour of the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show.
3-on-3, finding Eichel. Eichel to Stone. He scores!
The Finley Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studio and live at lvsportsnetwork.com. Here is Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
Got a dozen games in the National Hockey League tonight. Some are underway. We'll bring you up to date in one-timers, news, and notes from around the National Hockey League. Looking forward to a couple of players' appearances in the games tonight. Tell you all about that as we dig into it. Plus, we have Bruce Cassidy from Seattle as the Golden Knights practiced, had an optional practice today ahead of their game against the Kraken tomorrow. I called it earlier this week. I said they were going to sweep this two-game road trip and have everything right in the world by the end of it. I'm halfway there, and you can bet you will hear all about it Monday if the Golden Knights are able to win these back-to-back games and go into that date against the Carolina Hurricanes on Monday at T-Mobile Arena with consecutive road victories. Darren Millard, along with Ryan Wallace, Chris Chapman is frantically pressing the buttons, and he is going to be able to turn around this Bruce Cassidy audio from Seattle that we just got, so that's going to be fun. But first, let's get into our game ratings from last night and the first road victory of the season.
The Earl of Sandwich was the undisputed ruler of the sandwich world.
I give you peanut butter and banana. Bologna. Club sandwich.
I'm calling a sweep right now.
Yeah.
Not only on the road trip, but on the rankings today.
Well, the good news is, I agree with you.
Chapman realized what he had to do.
Wait, what?
About the rankings.
Wait, what?
Usually you go off board.
No, there's no going off board
I'm
here.
I'm trying to influence you.
No, there's no going off board.
Hold
I
on,
thought,
hold
listen.
On, hold on. Wait, what? I don't know how it goes sideways with you so fast.
I don't know either. I mean, like, there's no like, you know, whatever.
This wasn't my fault.
No, I know. It wasn't your fault. Yeah.
But it still went sideways in a hurry.
Yeah. Going off the board. There's no going off the board.
Almost always off the board.
It was one of the best games they've played all season. They were far better than the Edmonton Oilers. Aiden Hill played one of his best games of the season. I guess people were nitpicky about the goals. Come on.
Who was nitpicky about the goals?
I don't know. I saw some people on Twitter.
Who? See, that's why you shouldn't even bother reading that.
Well,
stuff.
It's comical. It provides comic relief. Like, the second goal, what is he supposed to do? But I thought the team was good. Noah Hanifin, 2 goals. I thought they were better than the Oilers. I mean, I know McDavid was out there. I noticed him for one play, and I really didn't notice him too many other times. I just thought it was a really good game by the Golden Knights. Good game plan. They executed first road win of the season. I'm going 5 out of 5. It's a steak sandwich.
All right.
Yeah, it's a 5 out of 5 steak sandwich for me. If for no other reason, it ends the narrative of can't win on the road. If for no other reason. Now, beyond that, I thought the Golden Knights played a really solid game. I liked their first period a lot. Obviously, some back-and-forth chances. Aiden Hill, phenomenal. He was so, so good in that game last night. I have really kind of made the argument that since that Ottawa game, second and third period, where he stopped, I think, 26 to 27 shots, he started to settle in and look more like himself. And last night was his best start of the year. Beyond that, you get a 3-point night out of Jack Eichel. You mentioned it, Chapman, Noah Hanifin. It just continues to keep the hot hand. You get your power play to come through for you, help you win a game. You close it out the right way in the third period. I liked a lot of what the Golden Knights did. Two good teams going at it, and Vegas was just better.
Clean sweep. We got steak sandwiches all the way around. Maybe some curly fries in there. The little thin curly fries. Got to throw those on board with a side. But that was an awesome game last night. Every single facet. You got the star players playing a role. You got the meat and potatoes and playing physically. The goaltender was awesome. The offense from the D continues with the performance that we see from Noah Hanifin, and then putting it away late and being able to capitalize on opportunities. Plus, gut check. You trail going to the third period on the road, and you haven't won on the road all year, and you win that game. They're now 2-2 trailing after two periods this year. 500 when trailing after two is not part of the script in the National Hockey League. And they've been able to do that. So it was a wonderful performance. On the Aiden Hill front, it was his best game of the year last night. Mm-hmm. It might have been. And I'm with the goaltender, Darren Elliott, who said it was better than the shutout because there was more work. It was against a better opposition. There's some adversity thrown in with the bad bounce. And he really bought them time. With that kick save, that he made early in the third period, that was outstanding. It was old school, like toe up, heel dug into the ice,
sure,
and you're just knocking that thing out. Well done. And then there was a play earlier in the game in which he slid over right to left and stopped Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, and he ended up facing the net.
Mm-hmm.
Like he spun around, but he found a way to make that save, and I love how technical he is. But he's got this ability to stand up to the challenge when desperation is required. And I was really happy for what I saw from Aiden Hill in a high profile game. He's going against a guy that's also in the mix for a Four Nations roster spot,
right,
in February for Team Canada. And he outdueled him. So good on Aiden Hill. Good on Ivan Barbashev. Jack Eichel with a beautiful breakaway goal on one of the best breakout plays that you're ever going to see when all five guys touch the puck. And he goes in full speed.
Mm-hmm.
And he pulls the flaps. And Top Gun watches the Russian pilot go flying by. And then he dances around Stuart Skinner. It was a fun performance.
Yeah,
it was
a fun game all the way around, and you're right on the money. Like, you have so many boxes checked off for the Golden Knights in this road victory, and I do think that it propels them the rest of the way. When you look at 9 games on the road in the month of November, I think they needed that one last night. They got it, and we'll see where they go from here.
They're ahead of schedule. And it was their first road win, but I'm talking about the 9 games on the road in November.
Mm-hmm.
Pile up some points. Because at the end, you're a little road weary by the end of that Canadian road trip that will finish up in Philadelphia and Colorado. I know those aren't Canadian cities, but it starts Toronto, Ottawa, Montreal, a very jam-packed part of the schedule. And then they come home for two, but they've got an opportunity to really add to their early start tonight. And today, they get a day off in Seattle. Tomorrow, they'll play the Kraken indoors this time, as opposed to the Winter Classic last year. And Ashley Vice was able to catch up with Bruce Cassidy on this off day in Seattle.
Bruce, not an off day. I know you had meetings and workouts and an optional practice, but how will you spend the rest of the afternoon and evening in Seattle?
Well, the afternoon, there'll be work prep to be done. Nice day here, sunshine, so I will go for a walk. Not sure what's on the dinner schedule tonight. We'll talk to the coaches, probably watch some hockey, see what they have in store, and just join them.
Any chance that walk will lead you to the Pearl Jam Museum? Have you checked that out yet?
Oh, is there one here? I have not.
There is.
Oh, well, that could. Is it nearby?
Garrett? No. I don't know how far it is, but I know it is
in
Seattle.
If it's walking distance, I'll definitely go. If it means jumping in an Uber, then it's probably still should go. I did the Space Needle last time. That was cool.
Okay.
The revolving restaurant up top with the family when we're here for the classic. So the Pearl Jam restaurant, a museum for sure. Yeah.
Cool.
I'm a Pearl Jam guy. I'm not the biggest fan, obviously, but they are my favorite band. And so let's go take a look.
Favorite album or favorite songs?
Well, 10 is the best one. I saw them in Vegas at MGM last May. Favorite songs is too hard to pick, but some of the obscure songs I always hope they play.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy Mary,
In Hiding, Unthought Known. I always hope they play those ones. The usual rotation, you usually get Better Man and Yellow Ledbetter and Alive, but those are the ones that I always hope they mix in.
You're a guy that appreciates music, but I don't think we've ever asked, do you play any instruments or anything?
I do not. Okay. I played the flute up until grade 5. I took guitar lessons my first year pro in Saginaw, Michigan. Then I broke my wrist, so I couldn't hold the, it was the bottom one, so I couldn't hold the guitar properly, so that went out the window. So, unfortunately, no.
If you learned, what's the first song you would learn to play on guitar?
It was Sunday Bloody Sunday by U2. That's what the guy said, actually. He said, okay, here's how we're going to do it. What's your favorite song? At the time, I was a big U2 fan, more than Pearl Jam. And so he told me to pick a song, and we landed on that one. Maybe the first one, New Year's Day, was too hard or something. Anyway, Sunday Bloody Sunday is that one where it's how it starts. So it was actually one I was learning, and then my guitar career suddenly came to a crashing halt.
Maybe it's like riding a bike. Maybe if you put a guitar in your hand, you could at least get a couple chords out.
I probably should. I think that's something that will get done before I get done, so to speak. So right now it's a lot of chauffeuring with the kids, reading, watching hockey, and then golf in the summer. So that's one thing I actually would like to do is one day get back and take a few lessons.
You mentioned you're going to have dinner plans at some point tonight while we're on the topic of Seattle. Are you a seafood person?
Absolutely, yeah.
What kind of seafood?
Anything.
Anything?
I'll eat anything. I could eat seafood 6 days a week. I'm in Cape Cod all summer, so it comes in every day. So not even like lobster, that's fine. I prefer crab, salmon, shrimp, rainbow trout, fish and chips with cod. You can go right down the list.
All right, on to Seattle hockey, I suppose. What do you see out of the Kraken? They've been struggling a bit as of recent.
Yeah, I think they've sprung a little bit of a leak defensively. I know their goaltending's good. Decord always plays well against us if it's him. Grubauer's a good goaltender. But sometimes maybe with some new personnel, new coach, it takes a while to gel in terms of how you want to play. So it's early in the year, but that's an area I think that they're probably drilling down on. Offensively, I know at the end of the trip, they didn't get as much done as they like. I think they got shut out in Boston and Ottawa, so that's another part of their game that just didn't come together on the road. So at the end of the day, they had a tough road trip. It happens. We've been through it. We had a tough one earlier this year. We came back home and got our act together, and so that's what I expect they'll do.
You mentioned the coaching change. From your experience, what is the most challenging part of taking over a group starting a new season?
Well, the good news is you have training camps. You get your ideas down and you have lots of days to work at them. It's just figuring out your personalities in the room, how to coach them, how to push them, how to cajole them, whatever the word is you need at certain parts of the year. So that's the biggest thing to me, is getting to know the people in your room and what makes them tick. And it just takes a little while.
Last night, you insert Ben Hutton in the lineup. First of all, what did you see out of his performance?
I thought he was solid, how he jumped up in the play when he needed to. I think I said cajoled. I said console. That's what I'm trying to say. Oh my God, I got him stuck in my head. I thought he was good. He moved the puck well. He was assertive in his decision making. For a guy that hadn't played that long, didn't look rusty. He got caught a couple times in his own end, but still, played his position, didn't panic, and stuck with it. So I thought he had a good game for us.
How would you describe how much of a luxury it is? We talk about depth, but to have him and Kaden Korzak, two guys that you can throw in and be successful against a team like Edmonton, who can be so dangerous offensively.
Yeah, we're pretty fortunate. 8 guys that can play in the league. I don't think too many teams can say that. It's tough on the two that don't play every night. Right now Nick Hague's injured. He's working his way back, so that allows them to get an opportunity. We're trying to balance who goes in, who doesn't. You always want to play your best lineup, but you want to keep guys fresh and involved. Huddy's a popular teammate, plays well when he goes in, has proven that to us. So of course he's more of a younger guy that has a lot of upside in front of him. So again, you don't want him as a young player sit out too long either and lose his edge and wonder what's going on, because mentally they're just not in the same place that maybe Huddy is, that's been there and done this. So that's what we're trying to balance and stay healthy at the same time.
Well, Bruce, enjoy the walk, enjoy maybe the Pearl Jam Museum, and enjoy the seafood tonight. Thank you for this.
All right, thank you.
There's Ashley Bice in Seattle with the Vegas Golden Knights. So with the one-on-one, the exclusive with the head coach, Bruce Cassidy. The audience didn't get to experience what I just went through. Listening to Bruce talk about his various interests, from music to seafood to playing the guitar and then into hockey, and then having the instant reactions of Chris Chapman in the background. Those two should be in a podcast separately.
Sure.
Because seafood comes up and Chapman's like, oh, yeah.
And
lobster. There's the music, the favorite songs from Pearl Jam was on there. And then
rattling them off.
That's the best part.
Chapman was blown away by it.
Yeah.
Like, he didn't even hesitate. He just rattled
off. It's like he knows himself.
Well, I mean.
It's like he likes his favorite
bands. Well, because he said he wasn't the biggest fan. Or, you know, he said, oh, I'm a big fan, but I'm not their biggest fan.
Right.
No, Bruce, I think you are their biggest fan, because he just rattled like 10, 12 songs off without even hesitating. And by the way, Crazy Mary, one of my favorite songs too.
I think when it comes to music, even if you're a big fan and that's your favorite band,
mm-hmm.
you'll never be the biggest fan, because there's like loonies out there.
I agree with that. There are some people that love artists so much that that is their entire identity.
Right.
I have a friend who's a big Metallica fan. She's gone to Australia to see them. She's gone over to Europe to mm-hmm. see them. Like, mm-hmm. My cousin went
over the world to see Springsteen. I have a buddy who travels all over North America to see Fish. When he told me that, I thought Fish was F-I-S-H.
Oh, boy.
It took me months before I knew it was Fish with a P.
Well, if you listen to the pregame show with Ryan Wallace, you get a little taste of Fish.
Get a little Fish in there.
Because
yeah.
Bobby, who handles the duties for the production, he is a massive Fish fan as well, so he plays a lot of Fish in the pregame.
I don't understand the Springsteen thing. I don't get it.
You know, we have
anybody for music. Music is very personal. So
speaking of Springsteen, saw that Gary Lawless over the summer was in Asbury Park, New Jersey at the Stone Pony, which for me is basically home.
Well,
but
Gosher went to London and saw him.
Yeah, that's
he
awesome.
He was in Toronto last night. The things that jump out there, one, playing guitar, that'd be cool to get into it.
It is
Sean
fun.
Burke is a great guitarist and loves to sing. Director of security, Tom Monahan, great guitarist. Dave Gosher, obviously in a band, so we could have a little bit of a hockey band going on that front. And I love the conversation about Ben Hutton. Like mm-hmm. we have that phrase, like, be a Ben. It just means no complaining, be positive, go out there and do your job. And he is just the epitome of that.
Yeah, it's really remarkable how Ben Hutton can come into a game 13 games in and just be himself, do his job, play to a high level against an Oilers team that, you know, I know it's been a struggle offensively for them at times so far this season, but we know the pedigree, we know the types of players that they have. They are a dangerous hockey team, and he just does his thing. And it doesn't matter how many games he's missed or how often he's, you know, been on the bench or hasn't been able to play. He just goes in there and gives you what you need every single time he's in the lineup. It's phenomenal to watch.
So yesterday on the show, I dropped some news on the Insider Show. We weren't on very long, but dropped some news,
mm-hmm.
which I already knew because I'd been in practice the day before. So I was aware of things, but then it got spread around. Did you see all the different posts that happened yesterday when I said Ben Hutton was going in?
Yes.
Yeah, the bloggers were on fire. They gave us credit, though.
On fire. Well, look at you.
They gave us credit, but it was pretty funny. I didn't realize. Well, I know that the bloggers are listening, and the podcasters and they listen to the show. Why wouldn't you listen to the show? Kelly McCrimmon's on here once a week.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the exclusive with Bruce Cassidy, but it was interesting to see the VGK Insider Show breaking all that news yesterday.
It's why you come here to listen, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But people are already listening.
Well, that's what I'm saying. My point is, it's why you listen to the show.
So I'm not sure people need to be telling other people, because people are already listening. But I like the fact that they're hockey fans. I do like that. The Pearl Jam exhibit
I got some bad news for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not around anymore.
It's not a thing.
It ended last year.
Oh, really? Oh,
We all thought it was still there. Not until like an hour ago,
sure,
did we realize the Pearl Jam exhibit wasn't still there.
Are we sure that like the lyrics to Yellow Ledbetter is just not telling you where it is, and no one can figure it out and find it?
That might be case.
Yeah,
it might be the case. Are you guys Pearl Jam people?
I appreciate Pearl Jam. I wouldn't classify myself as like the biggest fan. I was never much of a grunge guy. Like I appreciate Nirvana for what they were. I like Pearl Jam for what they were. But I don't go out of my way with those bands in particular.
No, I was a big grunge guy. Alice in Chains, Pearl Jam, Nirvana, Meat Puppets, love them all.
I was more of a thrash metal guy. Mm-hmm. So like you talk about your Metallica friend, like that was me in high school for sure.
Sad thing is, I'm a big Pearl Jam fan. I have never seen them live.
Really?
Yeah. Disappointing.
I bet they'd be fun here live.
Yeah, they're here a lot.
Yeah, Bruce said that they
saw them in May
here last year.
And I've heard they put on a really good show.
Yeah, I bet.
But I've never seen. Now I was supposed to see U2, who I've also never seen, but I flew to Winnipeg for game one of the Western Conference Finals the night of the U2 concert at T-Mobile, so I ended up not being able to go.
They were just here for 6 months.
I won't say.
I'll come out and say it. I don't ever care to see U2.
No, I'd like to.
It's not a thing on my bucket list.
I would like to see U2, but after they sent the cease and desist letter.
We have a beef with U2.
Yeah, me, yeah. Edge, Bono, we're not cool.
You guys
anymore.
Don't see eye to eye.
Yeah. If they ever show up, it'll be Sunday, Bloody Sunday in the studio.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah.
They sued you.
Well, they threatened to. Yes.
We'll take it up on New Year's Day. It'll be fine.
You think Bono sent that himself?
Probably
from under the Joshua tree.
Yeah.
What did you used some of their songs?
You played a song from the album that was free for everybody.
No, I didn't play that song.
Yeah, no, you did though. Well, it was from one of those albums.
That wasn't why they got mad though.
No, they got mad because I played New Year's Day on New Year's Day.
Yeah, it was
unreal.
The most unoriginal thing I've ever done.
He could have got away with it.
We're literally going to give away an album.
Yeah.
Because it was so bad. Nobody actually wanted to buy it.
No, but this is vintage Chapman. He could have got away with it by just playing the free one.
Sure.
But he didn't.
No, they would have copywritten that too.
The worst part about that album is I don't use iTunes.
Yep.
But those are the only songs that are on my iTunes.
I'll tell you.
So there were
story.
Times when I would get in my car, and I guess it would default to iTunes, mm-hmm. and it would play like whatever the first song in queue was, and it was from that album. Like, what is this?
There were so many times, and I'm with you, where I would get in the car, and it would just start playing music, and it was U2, and it was that album that I never asked for, that I never wanted,
and it was
forced upon me.
It was automatically downloaded, right?
I'm going to tell you one thing. You want to know why I have an Android now?
To get
that right there is the reason why
Look
I don't have an
there,
iPhone.
Look you did there, you force them to go Android.
Unreal.
Don't try to justify the whole Android thing on that.
I'm not justifying it.
I'm telling you very specifically.
Because I couldn't get rid of it. I tried.
I had the same thought.
If you're going to make the choice to get one of them phones over there, then you got to come up
right,
with something
dinosaur.
Way better than that.
No, it's not way better than that. I do not like U2. I am against that band as a concept for many, many reasons. And the fact that they are going to pull some copyright stuff when they give away an album that's terrible, that nobody asked for, that nobody wants, and then you can't get rid of it, I don't want my ears to be subjected to that. I don't want it.
You're taking yourself way too seriously. Huh. If that's why you got that thingamajigger over there.
Well, I mean, Androids are objectively better than iPhones, but that's fine.
Darren, are you a big U2 guy?
Yeah, I like my U2.
What's your favorite U2 song?
None of them.
What's that?
He said none of them.
Oh, Where the Streets Have No Name.
Oh, that's the one they filmed in Vegas on Fremont Street before it had the canopy.
Yeah, I love that song. It's the VGK Insider Show. We are going to bring you some one-timers, news notes from around the National Hockey League. Do we have tickets today, or is it tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Okay. So just to make sure you're listening tomorrow to win some tickets to the Vegas Golden Knights.
We'll keep listening today, too.
National Hockey League with one-timers tomorrow on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Carlson left corner, centered, one-timer, score!
It's time for one-timers. One-timers. A quick look at news and notes from around the National Hockey League. Brought to you by Paul Padilaw. It's not about the injury, it's about the recovery.
Let's get into it. Tonight, a busy schedule with a dozen games on the ice, including Colorado against Winnipeg. Cale Makar, who left the previous game early, that was a victory over the Seattle Kraken, is active for the Avalanche for this game. So that's great news. A team that's been beat up early in this season. They have Makar back in the lineup. They're going to get Valanciunas soon. On the 15th, Jonathan Duran is expected to be back at some point here, but neither of those guys are on the road trip. No timeline for Gabriel Landeskog. There was a quote that Jared Bednar kind of walked back. He just said, basically misspoke. He said he called it a setback originally, but it's not a setback. It's just sometimes you hit flat spots during a rehab. And that's basically what has happened right now. But they're still optimistic that they will get their captain back. There's an eventful game happening tonight between Philadelphia and Tampa Bay. Have you been following any of this?
I've not been watching this game. I have been watching Florida-Nashville.
It's all about stuff happening around the game between Tampa Bay and Florida. And it was Tampa Bay against Florida a number of years ago in which Philadelphia wouldn't move the puck out of their zone.
Okay.
And they eventually just blew it down. Guy Boucher was the coach of the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Yes.
That's the most memorable game that I remember between these two teams. But Braden Point missed this game. He's not dressed tonight for the Tampa Bay Lightning because of an undisclosed injury. They don't play again until the 14th. So John Cooper was quoted as saying, ask me next week. I'll give you an update. Because they don't play again until next week. We're not one of those quotes that you generally hear from a coach when you're going through the rigors of a busy National Hockey League schedule. So no Braden Point in the game for the Tampa Bay Lightning, and the Philadelphia Flyers scratched Matvei Michkov tonight, the heralded rookie. And he's tied for the NHL rookie lead right now in point production, but he'd been previously benched for part of a period against St. Louis at around Halloween, and John Tortorella is just trying to give him an opportunity to see the game, maybe take a breath and watch and just take a step back a little bit. That's the case on the two lineups. Here's the in-game and who is participating. And you guys are going to love this.
Okay.
We got an e-bug alert.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. Alexei Kolosov, unable to go for the Philadelphia Flyers. He was hurt, banged up in the morning skate. So Kyle Connan, the practice goalie for the Tampa Bay Lightning, he's been an e-bug a couple of times in the National Hockey League, appeared, I think, with St. Louis once and the Lightning. St. Louis, I do remember, though. So he's been an e-bug, actually dressed for the team twice with St. Louis and Tampa Bay Lightning, and he is the backup tonight. Signed amateur tryout. He is the backup tonight for the Philadelphia Flyers.
That's awesome. I mean, we'll see how it goes. Fedotov is playing well. It's a 1-0 game, wow. E-bug alert, and we're only 13 games in. Gotta love it.
The e-bug thing's gonna flame out in a bad way, and everybody's gonna wonder why it happens.
Meaning that we're going to eventually move away from the e-bug situation you're gonna have a team that loses out on points that are important because they don't have the ability to utilize a third goaltender.
Carolina was a great story when Scott Ayers went in and shut down the team that he practices with, the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Sure.
when he was dressed for Carolina when their goaltenders both went down in the same game. Mm-hmm. Scott Foster went in and was outstanding for Chicago in a game against the Winnipeg Jets and preserved a victory. It's not that easy. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say the next time that some e-bug ends up in the game, they're going to get torched. And we're all going to realize that it was a passing fad to have success from a non-National Hockey League goaltender.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's going to turn around and go, this can't happen. It really can't happen.
So what's your solution? If it's not an e-bug, what is it?
I think teams should have professional practice goalies.
Okay.
That don't count against the salary cap.
Gotcha.
That are better than an e-bug,
mm-hmm.
but not making a living doing something else. Like they're part of the group. They're part of the team,
sure.
but they don't count against the salary cap. So they're not working two other jobs or another job and going to the game at night. But they're not making 800 grand, but they're a pretty good goaltender. That's my suggestion, and I think it would be the two goaltenders in the National Hockey League, knowing that guy's not a threat,
mm-hmm.
but he's going to give me time off during the season. They'd love it.
Like, would you be open to the idea of dressing that goalie if you know you are not going to under any circumstance go to? Say your starter. Say it's Aiden Hill and Ilya Samsonov.
No, I wouldn't be.
You wouldn't be open to dressing.
No, they're an emergency goaltender.
Mm-hmm.
They're the same as the e-bug as far as status goes, but they're around the team and they're practicing all the time. So they're getting National Hockey League shots. So that's good.
Yeah. That's interesting.
That's where, and I've talked about this with Kevin Woodley, and we've bounced this around because we both think this whole e-bug, like some poor guy is going to go in and he's going to let in 7 on 11,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to be ugly.
The end of e-bugs.
I think so. Bruins leading the Calgary Flames tonight, 3-1. Important game for the Bruins. Looked like they were turning things around. Then they had a stumble against Toronto.
Mm.
A lot of talk around the Bruins right now. Brad Marchand, contract. Jim
yep.
Montgomery,
mm-hmm.
contract.
Yeah.
See what happens on that front. The Florida Panthers pounding
yeah.
Nashville Predators.
Yeah.
So the struggles continue there with Nashville. I don't know whether you saw Barry Trotz, the general manager of the Predators, came out the other day and said, look, if this doesn't turn around fast, we're just going to speed up the rebuild.
Yep.
I'm just going to start playing a bunch of kids. I thought I was going to play the kids in 2 years, but I'll just start playing the kids now.
Yep.
And we'll just move a bunch of guys out.
Sure.
No, that's not the big name players, but the middle of the roster.
Yeah.
He's basically calling their bluff, but it's 5-1 right now.
Panthers. Yeah, the Panthers just scored to make it 5-1. The Predators have all of 11 shots on goal through two periods of play, and it has been not very competitive and not very close in this one.
Same thing in Carolina tonight. The Hurricanes bombarding Pittsburgh 4-0. Mm-hmm. Now, that's territorially the shots favoring Pittsburgh, but Carolina, we're going to have to start giving them some love.
Sure.
I wanted to wait on Carolina. And I'm going to have to make a decision sooner than later because of the way that they performed and the way that they've been able to score.
Yeah.
This year.
Yeah, I think you can wait, right, until we hit the 15-game mark, because I think that's kind of an area where we begin to know or at least depend on what teams are. But, yeah, the Carolina Hurricanes, It's always interesting because you never know exactly how it's going to work out when you have change like Carolina had in the offseason. But I believe in Rod Brind'Amour. I think he's a great coach. I think he gets the most out of his players. He's such a physical specimen, and the brand of hockey that they play is so unrelenting that if you get the players and you believe in the players and you get them to buy into it, it can really catch some teams off guard, and I think that's what Carolina's been able to do really well so far this year.
Rye's just a great guy. Hmm. He's just a dude.
Yeah.
Just an awesome hockey player.
Intense.
I just call him a hockey player.
Yeah.
I was wondering whether Igor Shesterkin's value with the New York Rangers had increased significantly tonight.
Yeah.
Buffalo Sabres leading the New York Rangers. Five Cobb after two.
Yep.
So I thought, well, if Jonathan Quick's in, like that's, and everything's gone so great for Shesterkin and the Rangers when Shesterkin's played, maybe this shows like how valuable he is. But it was Shesterkin that started and got yanked.
Not great.
Not in New York State.
He'll be fine.
Yeah, no. I was just curious about that narrative.
Yeah.
Whether it was going to happen. Also want to tell you that the Winnipeg Jets have a lead tonight over the Colorado Avalanche. And that's a game, obviously, from a playoff perspective last year
that
went massively in favor of Colorado after
sure
game
did.
Number one.
Yeah.
But bit of a statement game for Winnipeg. They're only lost to Toronto, high-profile game. This is a high-profile game. They want to be able to just add to their lore. Just one regulation loss this year. Later on tonight, Canucks against the Kings and the Sharks against the Wild, and you're going to see Macklin Celebrini for the Sharks and the Canucks and the Kings. Good game to watch if you're a Pacific Division hockey fan.
Absolutely. That'll be on my TV when I get home tonight for
Alex
sure.
Alex Laferriere's got 8 goals.
Yeah, he's been good. Really good.
Didn't see that coming. What you will see on the way is Chris Chapman. Catching up with Chapman's right around the corner on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
When the guy wouldn't stop talking, we had no choice but to give him his own segment. It's time for Catching Up with Chapman.
Oh, Christopher.
Hi, Darren. So the name Braxton Whitehead of the Regina Pats may not ring a bell for a lot of people, but he was the first person to do something, and today, now many, many more players will be able to do this. Why is Braxton Whitehead relevant? Well, he's a WHL player, and in September, he committed to Arizona State University, which at the time was not allowed. CHL players were not allowed to play NCAA D1 hockey, but today the NCAA Division I Council voted to allow Canadian Hockey League players make them eligible to play NCAA Division I hockey starting in 2025, the decision that will reshape the landscape of both college and major junior hockey. I think it's a great thing. I know technically junior players are considered professional because they receive a stipend, but allowing them to come to the United States if maybe they don't get drafted or if even if
they
do
sign
get
contracts
drafted.
Too.
Yes,
a lot of them.
But
and you play against professionals. So somebody that hasn't signed a contract is playing against somebody who signed a contract. So it kind of makes you a professional.
Well, I think the ability to give, because not every player in Canadian hockey, the Canadian Hockey League or WHL or any of the other leagues are going to, not every player is going to play in the NHL or in the AHL or ECHL. So allowing them to continue playing and also receive an education on top of it, I think it's a great thing. I'm glad the NCAA came to their senses. Look, we're paying college football players and college basketball players who knows what. They're getting paid. I think it's fair that...
I don't know how it's going to work out, Chapman. I really don't know where this takes NCAA hockey.
Well, the interesting...
Whether it's a big impact... I don't know how many guys, honestly, will go from the CHL to the NCAA after their eligibility or mid-eligibility for junior hockey. Do they go at 18? Do they go at 20 when they finish off their major junior career? I really don't know.
Yeah, I it's interesting because I'm reading that since 2016, there have been 15 Canadians who played in college who were taken in the first round of the NHL draft, including last year's number one pick,
yeah,
Macklin
but if you,
Celebrini.
If you go, if how do I explain this? If you're a 19-year-old and you go play NCAA,
yeah,
you're not thinking National Hockey League at that point.
No,
you're thinking of education.
Right.
This has everything to do with trying to continue your hockey career as a way to implement the education aspect of it.
Yeah, but that's okay. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, no. But I don't know how many guys are actually going to do it.
Well, what's interesting is they do say that, I guess this is the caveat, any player who is drafted by a team, they have to give back any pay
yes.
that they've received and any, what was it, celebratory gifts, a celebratory item. So I don't know if that means like the jersey that you get when you walk up on stage that says like your name on it or whatever number pick you are. I'm guessing that's what that means. But you just get it when you leave college and come play for the pro team.
I love you, Chapman.
Chapman, that's where you say I love you too, man.
I love you too, man.
Unless you don't.
No, I love Ryan.
And then this just got really awkward.
I love you too, man. Fine. I love you too.
Can't wait to tell Bruce that.
Oh Ryan yeah. Doesn't want him. He's not going to be happy about that. He may never come on the show again.
Maybe not.
Not with Ryan.
No.
Clearly
rooting against him.
Bruce, I love Pearl Jam.
Pearl Jam's fine. Tomorrow.